This is BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. A member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
Hey, this is Dale Gentry welcoming you to another classic interview here on BPNRadio.com. For over 3 years, I've had many special guests here on BPNRadio.com. So during the following hour, we're going to replay one of those great interviews. Please remember that the following interview has been pre-recorded and may include some dated content. However, well, you're going to be blessed by another one of our special classic interviews here on BPNRadio.com. It's an honor today to have as my guest here on BPNRadio.com, Dr. Elizabeth Vaughn from Dallas, Texas, who's a retired ophthalmologist, eye surgeon, speaker, and author. She's a member of the Christian Medical Society, American Academy of Ophthalmology. She has served on the clinical faculty of Southwestern Medical School in Dallas, teaching eye surgery. She has traveled throughout the world, sharing her love of Jesus and his healing power. She has ministered in many different nations, including Russia, China, Indonesia. She has been a guest on many TV shows, including the Phil Donahue Show. She has also built a $5 million watt television station in the Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas Metroplex. She was a hostess of a live daily Christian TV show and has been heard on radio for many years. Patients have come to her for treatment, surgery from many parts of the world. Of course, as I said, she's a well-known author, including her famous book, The Instrument in God's Hands. She's also a famous storyteller, and I'm looking forward to telling a story or two today. Dr. Vaughn, it's an honor to have you on BPN Radio today.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for inviting me.
It was an honor to meet you several years ago in Fort Worth, and I've been looking forward to having you on. And tell us what's happening in your life. I know you've had a great journey, man. You have served so many people, and you've had a wonderful medical practice. Tell us what's happening in your life at the moment.
Well, this year, 2017, has been a wonderful year for me, and God has just enhanced the level of excitement inside of my spirit by watching him work as we go. He sent me to Thailand in January, and then I was thrilled a minute ago when you announced another city from South Africa, because I've been there twice this year, and I love that country. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I spent the month of April in South Africa, and then he sent me to Mexico to minister, and then back to Africa, to Kenya and South Africa again, and then back to Mexico, where I made these glory stories. You alluded to those a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I've been, and then I wrote a book this year, which the name of it is Jesus Needs a Body, which is Amen, right?
Wow, you've had quite a journey. How did you get into the medical field? How did that happen? Give us a little bit about your story. I know you're gonna tell somebody else's story, but tell us about your story.
Well, it's very interesting because in looking backwards, it becomes evident to me that God had his hand on me before I knew it, and he was leading me and guiding me before I knew it. And I'm sure that many of your listeners feel the same way, because when I was a freshman in college, I was planning on being a mathematics major, and I found out that I could either be in the computer industry or teach, and I didn't really want to do either one. So I went to the guidance center at my college, and they gave me a battery of aptitude tests, which are very interesting. They say, if you've never had one before, it's choices like this. Which would you rather do, work in the garden, read a book, or I don't know, build a house, you know, just any just miscellaneous things, and you choose which one you want, and then it gives all the tests like that, which would you rather do kind of things. Mm-hmm. So they sent it off to be analyzed, and when the counselor called me back in, he said, I've never seen in all my years of being a counselor, I've never seen a test result like this. He said, the test result comes back in three categories. The high category are these things that you should seriously consider. Second category, things that you might want to consider, and third category, forget it. And so he said, your test results are very unique because your top category has medicine in it, which I never had considered. One of my grandfathers was a medical doctor and the other was a pastor, but I just you know, I never considered medicine, but he said, that's the only thing in your high category. In your medium category, there's nothing. Mm-hmm. There's nothing.
Wow.
So he said, I mean, what else could he say, but you might want to investigate medicine. So I did. I spent the summer in a hospital as an extern, and I liked the medicine, so I switched to being a pre-med major, and the rest is history.
Well, I know being in the medical field is a major commitment. How did you determine to be an eye surgeon?
Well, that's another interesting story, because I really thought I wanted to go into pediatrics, and I don't want to say negative things about pediatrics, but some of my colleagues, I spent a year in pediatrics after I graduated from medical school, and some of my colleagues, because of their experience, switched out of being in pediatrics and into something else. So I listened to their comments and decided I better look for something else myself. Well, it was, I don't know if people know this or not, but after you graduate from medical school, you do a year of internship, and then you go into a specialty field of your choice. And the specialty field that I thought I might be interested in was ophthalmology. So I saw the head of the ophthalmology department in the lunchroom one day, and I told him, this was around Christmas time, around right now. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm interested in entering the residency program for ophthalmology next year. And he said, well, that's been filled up for a long time, and we have a huge waiting list of people mm-hmm. that want to be into the ophthalmology residency program. But he said, I'll put your name on the list, and we'll interview you and look at your grades and so forth and, you know, consider you in addition to all the other people. So that's what they did. And when it came time for a decision, see, this is the hand of God, Dale. This is what I mean. He knows how to do these things. When the time came, one of the residents that had already been slotted for the first-year residency program for that next year was drafted into the service. That was back when they did the draft. Mm-hmm. So it opened up one spot. So they considered me along with all the many other people that wanted that one slot. And God had them to choose me.
Wow.
So I became a resident in ophthalmology. That's a three-year program. And by the time I finished that, then I could go out and open my own practice in ophthalmology. And that means eye surgery. Ophthalmology means you're an eye surgeon.
Right.
So that's what I did. That's how God did it for me.
Well, I have declared for many, many years divine appointments and divine connections. So evidently God just opened a major door for you, and that is one of the executive privileges that we have when we serve Jesus. I believe that he opens doors that in the realm of the natural we could never open. So I know
I know that you
begin a career in the medical field as an eye surgeon, but that gift began to open a lot of doors for you. And you came in contact with some very well-known people as a result of your gifting, right?
Well, I guess you could say it that way. I never really thought about it like that before, but I will tell you one connection that it did make. And it was at a Christmas time about like this, and I was praying about Catherine Kuhlman. She was alive then, and, you know, I loved her from afar like so many people did. Mm-hmm. God used her in such a powerful way. Mm-hmm. And so I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, show me something I could give to Miss Kuhlman that nobody would know about, a spiritual, not flowers or candy, or, you know, but something spiritual that would really mean something to her. And he told me, Dale, to give her my 0.12 millimeter tooth forceps. Well, you're saying something about my medical career. Okay, I wouldn't have even known what that was if I hadn't been an eye surgeon. But it's an instrument that has these little fine teeth on the end of it for grasping. The length of the teeth is 0.12 millimeters. I mean, that's extremely small.
Mm-hmm.
And I used that particular surgical instrument on every case that I ever did. It was the most valuable instrument I had, and frankly, I couldn't have done surgery without having that instrument.
Mm-hmm.
So God told me to take that instrument out of my set, and that's the gift I was to send to Ms. Kuhlman. Well, I had to get another instrument right away because I couldn't do surgery without that instrument.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, I had no idea what to tell Ms. Kuhlman. Obviously, she doesn't need a surgical instrument. I didn't know what it meant. So I had to wait on the Lord. I just waited on him to show me, what does this mean? Well, on Christmas morning, way early in the morning, the Lord woke me up. Of course, by that time, it's too late for me to send it to her for a Christmas present. But he knew the timing would be perfect. And he told me this, Dale. He said, you tell her that she is in my hands, how that instrument has been in your hands.
Wow.
And so I framed it in a picture frame and sent it to her and sent her a letter that explained all of that. By the way, that letter that I sent her and she sent back to me, it's in both of my books. My first book is called An Instrument in God's Hand, mm-hmm. and that's where the name of the book came from. It's based on the story behind that incident and all the other things God showed me. And the second book called Jesus Needs a Body, that has Ms. Kuhlman's letter back to me in that book also. This is what she sent back to me. This has changed my life. The first paragraph was, thank you very much. I treasure this. It'll be on my desk all the days of my life. And then the second paragraph is this, Dale. She said, God is still waiting. Well, first of all, she said that he's looking for someone who will not touch the glory. And then she said, God is still waiting for one who'll be more devoted to him than anyone who's ever lived, who will be willing to be nothing that Christ can be all, who will grasp God's own purposes and taking his love and his humility, his faith and his power without hindering, let God do great things. Is that fantastic?
That's amazing. It's amazing.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And anybody that wants that, you know, you can download my books, and it would have that letter in either book. You can download them on my website, which is called godsinstrument.com, godsinstrument.com.
Godsinstrument.com.
Yeah, well, that's my website.
I know that people would be tremendously blessed to read your book, and I'm going to read your book also.
It's a free download, by the way. I'm not trying to make money off of this. I'm just trying to get the Word of God out to the people. And the book that I've written this year, Jesus Needs a Body, the revelations God has given me in that book has changed my life in ministry. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure that's why he had me put it in book form, and that's why he's sending me to various places in the world to share that message.
Right. So you begin your practice there, seeing patients and doing surgeries. How did your ministry, your practice expand to other nations of the world? How did that happen?
Well, I think one of the things that influenced me as a young physician is God introduced me to Ruth Ward Heflin. Some mm-hmm. of your people might
yes.
have known about Ruth. She wrote about 6 or 7 books on glory.
Yeah, I've read some of her writings.
Yes, okay. So she was a woman that was a worldwide missionary. I mean, she traveled to literally every nation of the world that would allow someone to come into the nation. Some mm-hmm. of them wouldn't allow visitors in, but every nation that would allow someone in, Ruth was in there, and she blew like the wind. The Lord would tell her to go to China tomorrow or go wherever tomorrow, and she'd just get on the next plane and just do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that was a real influence in my life, and she told me back then, that was many years ago, that an international anointing had fallen on me, because I was already traveling some internationally, but nothing like Ruth. But after I knew Ruth, and she became a very close friend of mine, a very close friend, it just seemed like God augmented an international anointing. And I was invited to go, well, one place was South Africa, and that was in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And then many other places that we went, Indonesia, you named some of them. And I ended up building an eye surgery center in Beijing, China, and did a lot of free eye surgery on people from all over the nation of China. So it wasn't as if medicine opened all of those doors. It was because the anointing of God opened those doors for ministry, except the one in China. Obviously, that was a medical venture. You couldn't evangelize in China. It was against the law, so mm-hmm. I couldn't go there and openly evangelize, but I could go there, I could wear a jade cross around my neck, and I could do a surgery on as many people as I could to make blind people see free of charge. And there's another amazing thing that happened in China. And by the way, these ventures of China are written in that first book, An Instrument in God's Hand. Mm-hmm. A lot of China is in that book. So mm-hmm. anyway, God arranged it, not me. I didn't try to get any publicity to do anything. I just simply went over there to help the people. God knows I'm telling the truth. That's my only motivation.
Yeah.
But when I got there, I mean, they were just enthralled. They just couldn't believe that someone would come all this way for, I'm not getting paid to do this. Actually, I'm spending my own money to come over there and do, why would you do this? They asked me that question over and over. I've been interviewed on television, print media, radio, all, just every media that China had, they would come and interview me, and most all the time they'd ask the same question, why are you doing this? And I would always give them the same answer. I said, God has put a love in my heart for the Chinese people, which was 100% true. But it told them two things. Number one, it said there is a God, because most of them, or let me say many of them, were atheists. It says there was a God, there is a God. And secondly, that God loves you. He loves you. He loves the Chinese people enough to send me here to take care of your people. So I taught their doctors. I sent a lot of modern equipment and did the surgery, a lot of surgery myself.
So, Dr. Vaughn, when you started your practice, did you intend to be a medical missionary, or how did that happen?
No, it wasn't in my mind to do that. However, my grandfather, the one that was a minister, told me when I went into medical school, he said to me, or maybe it was before that, I think I was pre-med when I was in college, I was a pre-med, and he said to me, you're going to be a medical missionary someday. Well, I honored him, and I never would have said anything back to him, but in my heart, I was like, you know, that was the farthest thing from my mind, really. Mm-hmm. I was reared in the Methodist Church, and I went to church every time the door was open because my mother took me there, and I would definitely say I was a Christian, but I would not say that I was a consecrated Christian, and I knew nothing whatsoever about the baptism and the Holy Ghost. Nothing. I knew nothing. But when I was a young doctor in my practice of medicine, a patient came to me that worked with Campus Crusade for Christ, and he asked me if I would help to support him financially. So I said, yes, I would. So I started sending him monthly support, and I started getting from Campus Crusade literature. And one of the things I got was a piece of literature that said we're going to have a spiritual renewal, some name like that, spiritual enhancement, or whatever name they put on it, a conference up at Lake Texoma in Texas. And it invited me to go, so I thought, well, I know what it was, spiritual enrichment, that's what it was, because I thought, yeah, I need to be spiritually enriched, and so I went to that. Well, that changed my life right there. I got a little booklet called the Four Spiritual Law Booklet. Mm-hmm. It had two circles in this booklet. One circle, in the middle of the circle was a little chair, which means that's the throne of your life. Okay, well, so one circle had an S on the chair, which is yourself. You're on the throne of your own life. And it said, this life is going to grow these kinds of attributes, anger, hostility, frustration, and things like that. It started listing. I thought, my gosh, I don't want all those things. The other circle on the chair or the throne of the life, it had a cross, which was Jesus was on the throne of your life. And that life is going to grow these things. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, those things. I thought. So you look at those two circles side by side, and it's like a no-brainer. Which one do you want? Well, obviously you want the one with Jesus on the throne. Yeah. Well, I never realized that I could give my life to Jesus until I looked at those two circles and read that little booklet. And so I decided, Lord, I told the Lord, I kneeled in my living room, and I said, Lord, whatever I've done before, I know I've messed up some things, but I ask you to forgive me for those things in the name of Jesus, and I give the rest of my life to you. Whatever's left of it, you can do whatever you want to with it. And so that's the way that it started. It started that way.
So what happened at the enrichment conference?
Well, there was an industrialist from Chicago that was there that was a speaker, and he wasn't like a preacher, evangelist, or he wasn't a minister. He was just an ordinary guy who had a business. He had a warehouse business in Chicago. And he got up and he testified that he always tithed from his income in the business. And it was a very good, wonderful business, flourishing business. But he wanted to spend more time in going into ministry type things. And so he sold the business to some other men. The other men came in. Well, they didn't tithe. And right away, the business started going downhill. like the Kawasaki dealership where they were storing motorcycles in the warehouse. They pulled their contract from the warehouse and put it in somebody else's warehouse, and things like that started happening. And it got worse and worse until it got so bad that they were on the verge of bankruptcy and they couldn't figure out what to do, so they went back to the former owner, who's the guy speaking at the conference. And they asked him to come meet with them, and so he did. He met with them. He said, well, are you tithing from your income? No, we're not. They're not even saved, much less not tithing. And so he said, well, you need to give your life to the Lord, ask him to forgive you, and get on your knees right now here in this meeting and ask for forgiveness and become a make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. And he said, then you have to tithe, no matter if you don't have the money to even pay your bills. Whatever money you do have, you take 10% of it and you give the first 10% to God, and he will turn your business around. So they were so desperate, they did what he said. They began tithing. Well, Kawasaki calls them up and says, we're not happy with the other warehouse. We want to move our motorcycles back to you. And other things like that started coming back into his warehouse. So this is what it did for me. It was just a normal business person, which I was a normal business person, although I was a surgeon. But, you know, I was just like these people listening. Most of them, some of them are going to be preachers or evangelists, but most of them are just going to be ordinary people. And it showed me how God was so real that he could intervene in a warehouse business. And when I saw those little circles, I mean, all those things put together made me want to have more of Christ in my life than I had ever known. I wanted him to have control of my life. I wanted him to come into me and do what he wanted to with my life. Mm-hmm. And I might add that it was through some of the other literature from Campus Crusade that I even became aware of the Holy Spirit and his function. I mentioned I was ignorant about that, but I became aware of the Holy Spirit and his function. And when I had given my life to Christ in a very serious way, I decided that I had to show him that I was serious, because the Word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So I needed to seek him first. So I decided, okay, I'm going to start reading my Bible. I had read it all my life, but I'm going to start really seriously reading my Bible. I'd get up every morning, start reading my Bible. Mm-hmm. And after my time was up, I didn't want to give up. I wanted to keep reading. So I set my alarm earlier. Then when that time was up, I'd be so disappointed. I kept setting my alarm earlier and earlier until I was almost getting up at the same time I was going to bed, because I was so excited about the Word of God. Yeah. Well, that anointing on the Word for me personally continued for a long time. And I'll tell you, Dale, it gave me a foundation for my life that was totally invaluable. The Word of God is the foundation for our life that everything else can be built upon. Mm-hmm. And so when I found out about the Holy Spirit, obviously I wanted every single thing that God had to offer me. Mm-hmm. And I understood that out of Acts, the first chapter, that Jesus said this, not somebody, but Jesus said this. He said that you've been baptized with water, but now you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. He used that terminology, baptized with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I saw that out of the mouth of Jesus, and so that's what I wanted. And he went on to explain that ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you should be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. So I knew that being baptized in the Holy Ghost was for the purpose of being a witness for Jesus Christ. I wanted to be a witness for Jesus Christ. I wanted the power of God in my life to be a witness. Yeah. And so right away, I did the same thing. I knelt in my living room. You didn't have to be in some super spiritual environment. The Word of God tells us, Jesus tells us, he said, if a son asks his father for bread, he won't give him a stone. And if he asks him for an egg, he won't give him a scorpion. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father, the Heavenly Father, give the Holy Spirit to whoever asks? Mm-hmm. So if anybody's listening today and you already are a child of God, if you're not a child of God, become one. Yeah. If you are a child of God, you can ask. You can just ask God to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. He's so happy to give you this gift because he wants you to have the power of God in you. He wants you to be a powerful witness for him, and he's delighted to give it to you if you will just ask for it. Oh, I hope, Dale, I hope thousands and thousands of people get on their knees today and ask God to forgive them and let Jesus Christ be the Lord and the Savior of their life. I hope thousands and thousands of people get on their knees today and said, Father, I'm your child. I want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. I'm asking you for it in the name of Jesus. It'll totally, totally transform your life.
Yes, I certainly agree. I love the Holy Spirit. I love to, much of my my prayer life is speaking in tongues. We love to do it. We even speak in tongues here on bpnradio.com. Build up our most holy faith. And there may be people out there that would just say, I don't know much about the Holy Spirit, and I'd just like to receive it right now. Could you say a prayer for those or any instructions for before we continue here on this program? For anybody that has not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, they would like to have a prayer language. And you can just pray for them, Dr. Vaughn, right now. I believe this would be a good time.
Okay, great. I want to say one thing. I prayed for people in South Africa to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, and the whole room full of people all at once began speaking in tongues. So the same thing can happen to everybody that's listening to this program right now. All you have to do is yield to the Holy Spirit. You want everything he has. It's not something that you do with your brain, with your mind. Your mind has nothing to do with it. In fact, disconnect your brain and let the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, flow through you. Just begin to speak. Whatever comes out of your mouth, you won't know what you're saying. You'll have no idea because it's not for you to know with your mind. It's the Spirit of God inside of you talking to God. Yeah. He's talking to God in a language you don't understand that's worshiping God or praying for you. That's the function of it is for the Holy Spirit within you to pray to God, and it bypasses your brain. So just begin to speak whatever comes out. Just you have to open your mouth. You're the one that has the vocal cords, so you're the one that has to verbalize.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll pray right now.
Okay.
Lord, I ask you, Father, that if any of these people have sin in their lives that's a blockade to your use of their lives, I ask, Lord, that you forgive their sins right now. In fact, I even ask you, Lord, to fall on them and heal their bodies because you're our Savior.
Yeah.
You're our healer. You're our deliverer, Lord. So I ask if anybody's addicted to drugs or pornography or any other vice in their life, I ask that you deliver them right now. You can do it in 1 second's time. You can do it. I ask you in the name of Jesus, Lord, to heal their bodies, heal their hearts, heal their minds, and deliver them from every obstruction. In the name of Jesus. And now, Father, you said if we would ask, you wouldn't give us a stone if we ask for bread. But we're asking to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Listen, folks, close your eyes right now, would you? Just close your eyes and lift up both of your hands to heaven because you want to receive. So now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to fall on these people that have their eyes closed and their hands lifted. Fall on them in the name of Jesus Christ. So fill them, Lord, to overflowing, that the Spirit of God will bubble out of them like that river of living water will flow out of their bellies from this moment forward. And they'll know that their life has been changed. I knew it. I knew it right away. Let them know right away that their life has changed, Lord, that they now have a fire inside of them to be a witness for you, a fire to know you better. And love you better and walk closer to you, Lord. Let that fire of God fall into them, the Holy Spirit fall into them, Lord, that there'll be power packs, vital power packs in your kingdom from this moment on, vital and energized witnesses for you, filled with the power and the love of God. And, oh, Lord, I thank you for it. Oh, I see that happening.
Yes.
I see that happening. And we give you praise. Would you begin to praise him now, saints? Begin to praise the Lord. Begin to praise him. You can praise him in your natural language, but then let loose and let the Holy Spirit praise him for you, through you.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, Lord. We give you praise and glory and honor, Lord, for changing these lives today, for healing bodies and delivering people, setting people free, and changing them totally and absolutely. We give you praise, Lord, and all praise and glory goes to you in Jesus' name. I don't want to even stop praising right now, Dale, but I know you have time constraints, so I will.
Lord, I thank you today for baptizing people that are listening to this program, either live here on this Wednesday morning or Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday night, whatever it may be. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. I love to work with the Holy Spirit. I know that you do. And, well, I'm going to have you to tell a story here in a moment, but evidently, Dr. Vaughn, your grandfather gave you a prophetic word that has come to pass. So you started out in the medical field, but how did you move, before I have you to tell one story about somebody else, how did you move into the supernatural, being a medical doctor, and start ministering in healing and supernatural ministry, being on radio, television, traveling to other nations, ministering the gospel? How did that happen? How did you move from the natural to the supernatural?
Well, I explained some of the background already to you, but I think that when I really gave my life to Christ, then I had a hunger for him, which I still have, Dale. You know, I heard Ms. Kuhlman say there's nobody in this auditorium more hungry for God than me, and I agree with her. I have a voracious appetite for everything of God. And as you seek him, whatever you seek is what you're going to find. Mm-hmm. That's a law of God.
Yeah.
So, you know, as I sought him with my whole heart, and then the more of him that you crave, you desire, you want to know him better and hear his voice and obey him and please him, the more you want that, the more he's going to give all of those things to you.
Yeah.
And you're asking me, I think, about how do you jump across the gulf between the natural thinking and the spiritual thinking. But mm-hmm. if your foundation is the Word of God, and if you believe what he says, then the whole ministry of Jesus Christ was a supernatural ministry.
Yes.
And do you want to be like Jesus?
Yeah.
Do you want the same Holy Spirit that flowed through him to flow through you? Do you want to see signs and wonders and miracles? Well, if that's a desire of your heart, if you want the life of Christ to flow through you, you have to transcend the natural, because these are not natural things. I mean, who can walk on water? You know, who can make a dead man rise? These are not natural things.
Yeah.
These are supernatural things that only
yeah.
God can do.
Yeah.
So you have to jump across that gap. And it mm-hmm. wasn't a problem for me. I guess God gave me a gift of faith, because I just believe. Whatever he says in his word, I just believe it. It's to me, it's truth. He's not a man that he should lie. He would never mm-hmm. lie to us. I just mm-hmm. believe it.
I believe that, Dr. Vaughn. I want to take a station break. Let everybody know that you're listening to BPNRadio.com. Dale Gentry here on this Wednesday. Merry Christmas, everybody. And it's good to have Dr. Elizabeth Vaughn on with us today. And I told her I'd like her to be on 30, 35 minutes. That's already passed. And I have so many more questions. Maybe you could come back and be with us in the month of January. In the meantime, I would encourage everybody to read your book so we'll know more about you. And tell the people again how to get your book, your two books that you've written, and know more about your ministry and your life.
Okay, I'll tell you a very easy thing for everybody to do. Everybody that knows how to get on YouTube, and if you don't know how, it's very easy just to get the app and do it.
Okay.
Go to YouTube and put in Glory Stories Now.
Glory Stories Now.
Yeah, Glory okay. Stories Now. And there's, when I last went to Mexico, I taped 27 television programs, and I'm uploading them on YouTube one at a time. Every Friday a new one goes up, and right now I think maybe 12 or 13 of them are on there now. So you can go to Glory Stories Now, and you can begin hearing all kinds of miraculous stories, not just my life, but Catherine Kuhlman, John G. Lake, Smith Wigglesworth, and on, people like that, including Ruth Heflin, their lives and all the miracles that God has done through them, and it's going to be a tremendous encouragement to you.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one of my friends that's a pastor in Nigeria, last time he called me, he said, that very night, he was going to show the glory stories on, there's a one of them on Azusa Street also. He said he was going to show the glory stories on Azusa Street projected onto some screen and show it to 1,000 pastors the night that he called me.
Wow.
And he's been showing it all over to church groups and wherever he goes. So these glory stories are tremendous encouragement for people and show them how the miraculous is real. At the end of every glory story, it tells my website, which is godsinstrument.com.
Wow.
At the end of every glory story. So
wow.
You can see it in print there.
Dr. Vaughn, is that STORIES?
Yes, sir.
Glory Stories Now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Wow. Would you tell we have about 15 more minutes. Could you tell one of the glory stories that I listened to? And you are an excellent storyteller. Can you tell the story again in about 15 minutes of Ronald Cohen, the Ronald Cohen story? I'd heard it several times, but you did an excellent job. If you could tell that story, and then maybe we could TBC to be continued. I'd love to have you back and have you share some more of your stories with us. But if you could tell the story about Ronald Cohen, that would be great.
Okay. Well, I belonged to a church in Garland, Texas years ago, and the pastor was so wonderful about inviting visitors. And so one of the visitors that came there was a man named Ronald Cohen. His story is this. When he was a child, he had an injury to his eye, to his right eye. And it was such a bad injury that the doctor had to remove his right eye. So they just put like a glass eye in there at the time. And then he went with his mother to a Holy Ghost meeting somewhere, and it was a woman evangelist, and she was praying for the sick. So Ronald had a cold, and so his mother told him, he said, Ronnie, go up there and let her pray for your cold. So he went up there, and the lady prayed for him, and then as he was turning to leave, she noticed that one of his eyes was not straight. She didn't know it was not even an eyeball, it was a glass eye. Mm-hmm. But she noticed it wasn't straight. She says, come back here, young man. She said, your eye's not straight. What's the matter? And he just said, well, I'm blind in that eye. So he didn't tell her it was a glass eye. He just said, I'm blind in that eye. So she said, well, okay, come here now. God can solve that problem for you, sir. And so she prayed for this little boy and asked God to make him see perfectly out of that eye in the name of Jesus Christ. And amen. I don't know what all she said, but it was something along those lines. And so he went back to his seat. He tugged on his mama's dress, and he said, Mama, I can see. She said, oh, I know you can see, Ronnie. Now, just be quiet. Because, see, he still had his other eye. He could see fine out of his other eye.
Uh-huh.
In a minute, he tugged on her dress again. But, Mama, I can really see. Finally, she realized he's talking about seeing out of the eye that wasn't even there. He doesn't even have the eye. He doesn't even have the eye. But since that time, since that moment when the woman prayed for him, he could see with no eye. So here I am now in church. He's an adult. I'm an adult. I'm an eye surgeon. So when he comes to church, obviously they call on me to come examine him. Listen, I'm telling you, folks, this guy had no eyeball. It had been surgically removed. He could take the prosthesis out. And there's nothing in there but an empty orbit, which he did. He took out the prosthesis. I looked, it's just empty orbit. Mm. Or he could put the glass, it wasn't glass then, it was plastic, I think, prosthesis back in it. It didn't matter. It didn't matter if that was in or out. That's totally irrelevant. There's no eye tissue. There's nothing there, period. And then what he would do, he would take a man's handkerchief and fold it like 16 times and where you couldn't possibly see anything through it. He would put it over his good eye, I mean, his remaining physical eye, and he'd take a whole roll of adhesive tape and tape that handkerchief down to where you couldn't see around it at all. He'd invite anyone in the audience to come up and tape it any way they wanted. By the time the audience finished with him, he looked like a mummy, and his head did anyway. And then he invited me to put even more tape, so I put some more tape. I'm absolutely positively certain he could not see out of the eye that still existed in his head. Mm-hmm. He could not, period. Okay, now, so, here he is, no eyeball on the right, the glass prosthesis is even out, or the plastic one, rather, is out. He could invite anybody in the audience to bring up their driver's license, their social security number, their Walmart card, whatever they wanted to bring up, and he would read it to them. And so here, here's a series of like 16 numbers, and he he just holds it up in front of the eye that's not there, in front of the empty orbit, and he reads all 16 numbers. I mean, even if you thought, oh, he just memorized, hey, can you memorize 16 numbers in the proper sequence? No, no, you wouldn't. So anyway, he sees, I can tell you, in the name of Jesus Christ, the man can see with no eye. And now you're talking about supernatural a minute ago, Dale. That's supernatural. Anybody would have to admit that.
Yeah.
I told this story in a crusade in Kenya, an open-air crusade in Kenya. And because of this story, not because of anything else, but this one story, a Muslim man said he wanted to become a Christian because of this story. And so they started quoting to him Romans, and he says, no, I don't want that. I want to become a Christian right now. How do I do it? So they led him in a prayer of salvation. He prays that prayer, and then he says, okay, I don't want my Muslim name anymore because now I'm a Christian. Give me a Christian name. So they named him David. And so this story, just this story, showing how real Jesus is, how he is a supernatural God that can do anything. Is anything too difficult for God? I mean, he created the whole universe. Is anything too difficult? I mean, if you have crippled legs, if you have blind eyes, if you have deaf ears, if whatever it is, is that too difficult for God? Well, of course not. Of course not. So anyway, Phil Donahue then gets wind of R.W. Shambach. Some of you may remember him.
Yes.
He gets wind of R.W. Shambach and gets wind of Ronald Cohen, and so he invites Shambach to come and be on the Phil Donahue show. And so Phil Donahue doesn't realize it, but he enabled Shambach to have all the tickets to the seats in that show. He didn't realize what he was getting into, because Shambach packed that place with Holy Ghost people.
Uh-huh.
It was so funny. You can go on YouTube and see that story, probably. Phil Donahue with R.W. Shambach. And they featured, the feature thing of the whole program was Ronald Cohen. Well, Shambach wants me there because I'm the one that's an eye surgeon, and I've seen him and examined him and, you know, corroborate the miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has me on there, and I say that this is true on the Phil Donahue show to national television. Uh-huh. Well, you know, I don't know what happened in people's lives, but something must have happened. If you could ever watch that program, I wish you would.
Okay.
Every person in there was filled with the Holy Ghost. So no matter where Phil Donahue went with his microphone, he got a Holy Ghost answer to every single thing. He was so frustrated.
Wow.
He left the room every time there was a station break. He just couldn't even imagine it. So anyway, in a nutshell, that's kind of the story, Dale.
Well, I've heard that story before, but for an eye surgeon to corroborate and confirm that testimony, that is quite amazing, because I know there's no medical explanation how that could happen, is there?
Absolutely none. In fact, Phil Donahue had another ophthalmologist, a taped interview with another ophthalmologist who had never seen Ronald Cohen, never examined his eye, never seen this, never, never. And his assessment of it, it must be magic. He said, we have a magic trick that we can look through a little hole from the other eye and read, and this is a well-known magic trick, and that's how he was. No, that's not right. That's a lie. That's a lie from hell. If this man, I wish this man had been able to examine Ronald Cohen himself and see for himself that it was impossible, impossible for this man to do this anyway.
What an amazing story, Dr. Vaughn. It's been great to have you on. And there may be some people that are listening before you go that they need a miracle in their life. And here it is.
Yes.
Here we are at Christmas season. And I believe that the miracle birth of Jesus can be multiplied many, many times over by people that need a miracle today. And I know that you... you're a medical doctor, but also I know that you have the gift of healing. I believe some people could receive a miracle today here on this Wednesday. And before you go, I'm going to play some worship music, and I want you to pray for the sick or for those that need a miracle if you do that.
You want to play music first, or you pray first?
I'll play the worship music while you pray.
Oh, at the same time. Okay.
At the same time.
Okay, everybody out there that has a physical impediment of some sort, If it's something you can reach, put your hand on it or as near to it as you can. Put your hand, one of your hands on it right now. And listen, I want to also add those of you who have addictions at this time. I know a friend who's a good friend of mine. He was a cocaine addict on all other kinds of drugs, too. He was a drug addict. He was a chain smoker. He was an alcoholic. And one day he just couldn't take it anymore. He pulled his car to the side of the road. He threw himself over the steering wheel, and he said, God, forgive me for all of these things and give me a brand new life. And you know what happened? In one second of time, he was no longer a drug addict. He was no longer an alcoholic. He was no longer a chain smoker. He was free of everything all at 1 second of time. Wow. That's the kind of God that we're going to talk to here in a minute.
Wow.
So if you have an addiction of some sort, in 1 second time, God can set you free if you'll just call out to him. And I'll pray with you. You pray with me. We'll pray together right now. If two of us agree as touching anything on this earth, God promised he would do it for us.
Yes.
So you agree with me. You be ready right now to receive.
Yes.
He's ready to pour it out on your physical body.
Yes.
And deliver you. He's ready to pour it out. You be ready to receive.
Yes.
The only way he can get it into you is if you receive it. You need to be ready to receive your healing. You need to be ready to receive your deliverance right now.
Yes.
Okay, so is everybody ready? You have one hand on your body somewhere. Let's put your other hand in the air to show the Lord you're ready to receive.
Yes.
Lord, I bind the infirmities off of these bodies now in the name of Jesus Christ. And I bind you addictive spirits away from these people in the name of Jesus Christ. Every ear that hears this, every human being that hears this, I purge the enemy out of your life in the name of Jesus Christ. You flee out of these people now in Jesus' name. And don't you come back again. And I plead the blood of Jesus over them, Lord. Set guards round about them, Lord, and draw them closer to you. You're the Father that draws us to your bosom. I ask that you draw every one of these people to your bosom. And now, Lord, I ask you to pour out your healing virtue. Oh, thank you, Lord. Pour out the oil of healing, of your healing virtue, that healing virtue that healed the woman with the issue of blood, that healing virtue that brought Lazarus out of the grave when he'd been dead and stinking, Lord, rotting flesh. You brought him back to life. That same healing virtue, there's no limit to it. Whatever the problem is today, if you were destined to die in 1 second from now, God can raise you up off of your deathbed. There's no limit to the God we serve. Receive it right now. Receive your healing. Receive your deliverance from him. In 1 second time, he can raise you up, whatever your problem is. This is not hard for God. This is very easy for God.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for it. Receive it. Tell him out loud. Say, I receive your healing, Lord.
We receive
it. Say it out loud. Say, I receive your deliverance now, Lord. Say it out loud.
Yes.
Say it out loud. Say it three times out loud.
We receive.
Tell him thank you for it. Tell him thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, for healing my body. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me. Thank you for setting me free.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Tell him out loud.
Thank
him. Just received your prayer language a few minutes ago. Thank him in the spirit.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord. We give you praise.
Hallelujah.
We will tell others. We will tell others of what you've done in our lives today.
Thank
Would you
Jesus.
Tell him that? Tell the Lord that.
Yes.
I'll tell others about what you've done in my life today.
Yes.
I'll make others real I'll make you real to other people because you're so real to me. Hey, let's pray this together. Let's say, Lord, make me an evangelist.
Lord, make me an
let's say it out loud to God. Lord, make me an evangelist.
Lord, make me an evangelist.
And that doesn't mean that you have to go have a traveling ministry. You can be an evangelist in the store where you're shopping for groceries or around the people in your neighborhood, or the people, anybody you come into contact with. That's what
that's
I
right.
do.
That's right.
My
that's
yard
right.
men come to cut my grass and they get saved. A man comes to spray for insecticide, he gets saved. I mean, every place you go, you should be a walking, talking evangelist for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I'll tell you why. The reason why is because those people are destined to go to hell. Do you have any idea how horrible hell is?
Oh.
You don't want them to go to hell. Tell them about Jesus. Just a couple of days ago, the Lord told me this woman had tattoos all over her, and she was obviously in a desperate situation. The Lord said, go back and tell that woman that I love her. I went back and I told the lady with her shopping cart in the grocery store, I said, God wants you to know how much he loves you. I tell you what, big tears came in her eyes. And I won't tell you the whole story, but it ended up where she prayed the prayer of salvation. She got saved in the grocery store. You can do that. Every one of us can be an evangelist wherever we go.
That's right.
Wherever we go.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord, for it.
Thank you, Jesus. One other thing, Dr. Elizabeth Vaughn, on my personal Facebook page, I have a picture of a little girl. Her name is Elizabeth, like you. Elizabeth Wampler. She's 10 years old. She's had cancer now for several months, and the doctors have done about all they can for her. She's been at St. Jude's Children's Hospital for several months in Memphis, Tennessee. She's gone home to Columbia, Missouri. I've been having people to pray for her. I've got pictures on my personal Dale W. Gentry Facebook page. Would you pray for another Elizabeth before you go? Her name is Elizabeth Wampler. She has cancer. She's 10 years old, and her mom and dad are friends of Gene and I. Would you pray a prayer for Elizabeth Wampler?
Spell the last name.
W-A-M-P-L-E-R. W-A-M-P-L-E-R. Elizabeth Wampler.
Okay. I'll tell you something, Dale. When we finish right now, I don't want you to say another time, and I don't want her parents or anybody else to say she has cancer because she won't have it anymore.
Okay.
So let's be sure we get straight in our own heart and mind about that. Because whom God sets free is free indeed.
Okay.
So when we finish right now, Elizabeth Wampler is not going to have cancer anymore. I mean, I can tell you that. Okay, well, all of you out there,
Hallelujah.
You want Elizabeth too. So all of you join together right now. We'll believe God all together.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
First of all, I want to speak to you, demonic force that's caused cancer in her body. And I want to tell you, in the name of Jesus, I bind you away from her. God has given us the privilege. What things ever we bind on earth, bind means to lock you away, forbid you in her body. We lock you away from her. We bind you away from her in the name of Jesus. We curse you and command you out of her right this minute in Jesus' name. No more cancer cells. No more in Jesus' name. And Father, I ask that you release now your healing virtue in this young, beautiful woman, this child, Elizabeth Wampler. Release your healing virtue in her, Lord, to heal every single thing that the enemy has done to her, to make her strong and well and healthy. She can skip and dance and live a wonderful life, and she'll be a wonderful testimony for you, Lord. And Dale will bring her back on the show and let her be a testimony to all of you so you can all hear her say with her mouth how Jesus delivered her from cancer, raised her up from her deathbed, and she is now free. She is now free in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Lord. Oh, my, Dale, these things are so easy
Hallelujah.
For God.
Hallelujah.
They're so easy for God. If you could just be with him for 1 second, you'd see this is so easy for him. And all he's looking for, you know what he's looking for out of you, beloved one? He's looking for you to believe him. That's all. It's simple. Believe him.
Yeah.
Just believe him. Trust him. Rely on him. Cling to him. Believe him. If you'll just believe him, he'll do anything for you. He'll do anything.
Yes.
He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will. It means ask whatever you want. He's so happy to give you the things that you desire.
Yes.
If you'll simply believe in him, give your life to him, believe in him.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I set myself an agreement with you, Dr. Vaughn, and I am so thankful and grateful for your time here on BPNradio.com. I just believe that some incredible things have just been happening during this 1 hour here on BPN Radio, and I really appreciate your time. I'm looking forward to having you back on, tell some more of your stories, and pray some more. And I want to encourage everybody to go to your YouTube, go to your website. Thank you, Dr. Vaughn, for being on today.
Thank you.
God bless you.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you. their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.